Today, the second thing that we're going to be doing, which is perhaps a little bit different, and there's three today. The second thing is this, that we're going to start a mini-series for the next 3 weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at the fruit of the Spirit in our discipleship training and discipleship course, and we're going to spend another 3 weeks on that. This week I'll be leading that with Andrew. Andrew, come and join me, please, and make sure your microphone is turned on ready. Next week, Pastor Rachel will be taking the second part. And third week, Pastor Joshua will be taking that. Now, normally I'd sit in the tub chair, but because I've damaged my back, I'm trying not to sit down too much today so I can keep moving. So, in our mini-series today, we're going to be looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to be looking at the book of Galatians. It's in the New Testament. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn to that, the book of Galatians. And we're going to look at Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, 16 says this, "So I say to you, live by the Spirit." What does the Apostle Paul say? "Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature." Verse 22 to 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," can we say it together? That's not quite the right verse, but that's close. "But the fruit of the Spirit is" what? Sorry, say it a little bit louder. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Simple, isn't it? Gentleness. Thanks, Pastor Rachel. And self-control. Yeah, easy, isn't it? Easy to keep all those things. Who thinks that's easy? Come grab the microphone and you can do the speech today, the talk today. Then it goes on to say in verse 25, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And we'll look at that a little bit more. So this three-week mini-series, we come to what we call the practical outworking of our Christian life, our lifestyle, our forever lifestyle now, as we've chosen to follow Jesus, and some of you have done that last week. You have a new lifestyle. It's a forever lifestyle. We're wanting to become like Jesus. That's what we've been looking at today over the last few months about discipleship. Becoming like Jesus, behaving like Jesus, doing the things Jesus would do in the way Jesus would do them, and teaching other people to do the same. But you know, there's some good news. Who likes good news? I love good news. We've got some good news later and some sad news, but we've got good news. It's good news when you follow Jesus. It's good news to follow Jesus. And the reason it's good news is when you give your life to Jesus, he doesn't say, "Well, get onto it, keep on that path, just do as you're told and I'll meet you in heaven." He doesn't do that. What he says is, "Do you know what? We'll partner together. I'll help you live the way I'm calling you to live. We don't have to do it on our own." Not only do we not have to do it on our own because the Holy Spirit is with us, but we have God's instructions manual, God's written word. And we have Jesus, who is God's living word, to be with us. And what the Holy Spirit does, he partners with us, he leads us, he guides us, he instructs us and teaches us the way we should live. So on our journey of a lifetime, did you know this is a journey of a lifetime? You get one chance at it before you get to heaven. Did you all know that? There's no reincarnation. You don't come back a second time if you don't do very well. This is it till we get to heaven. So on our journey of a lifetime, I want you to envisage this. This might help you. I do it. People think I'm a bit strange when I'm walking down the road, but they think I'm strange anyway, so it doesn't matter. I want you to imagine in your right hand, take your right hand, put it in the air. Okay, this is your right hand opposite to your left hand. When I was taking my driving test, I put R and L on my hand, so I knew which was right. In your right hand, I want you to take the hand of Jesus and imagine that the hand of Jesus is there, and you're holding the hand of Jesus. I want you to take your left hand, put it in the air. With your left hand, I want you to imagine you're taking the person of the Holy Spirit, and you're walking in your journey of a lifetime with Jesus on your right, the Holy Spirit on your left. You see, you're on your journey, you're not on your own. Do you know that? Already, if you've given your life to Jesus last week, you have the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus. I want you to imagine that you're walking in your daily journey And as you're walking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and teaching you how you should live. And he's revealing the whole, the little Jesus to you so that you can understand who Jesus is, what Jesus is like, Jesus' character. And on your journey, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, it's an adventure. And you're going, God, I didn't know Jesus was like that. Isn't he wonderful? God, I didn't know Jesus, you were like that. Aren't you brilliant? Holy Spirit, I'm learning so much as I'm understanding what you say to me now and I'm listening. And so the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus and teaches us what Jesus is like. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is all about the character of Jesus. So if you want to know what Jesus is like, learn this verse. Learn these verses and look at the fruit. Okay, so does that make sense? Yep. The nine fruit, which are, we'll try and get it right this time, Pastor Rachel, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And those are all characteristics, godly characteristics of Jesus himself. This is why it's so important that we allow the fruit of the Spirit in our life so we can become like Jesus. So in our mini-series, we've called it In Step with the Spirit. Now, the one thing the Holy Spirit will do, and he does it gently and lovingly, is he will get his spotlight on our life as we walk. And we'll be walking along, you go, Robin, do you know you weren't very patient today with people in church? Do you know that really isn't the best way to behave? Sometimes God speaks like that. And what he does in our life, the Holy Spirit goes, you know, there's a part of your life, there's an area in your life, a characteristic in your life that really I need to challenge because it's not right. So I didn't used to be a very patient person. That's why I didn't become a doctor. I didn't have any patience. But now I'm a lot more patient than I've ever been before. And hopefully that's because of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. He will spotlight things in our life. And he will develop and grow us in our lives so that we can produce good fruit. But there's a caveat here. The caveat is if we allow him to. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to force you to be somebody that you don't want to be. He'll challenge us, but he won't force us. There's a partnership here between the Holy Spirit working in our life and ourselves. So if you read the Bible, you will find that God compares godly men and women to trees. Did you know you were a tree? Have a look and just say, oh, you look like a tree. Go and just tell the person, you look like a tree. You look like an old conker tree. I won't say any more. Okay, Matthew chapter 7. So, Paul, in the Galatian, to the Galatian church, compares us to a tree and the kind of righteous fruit that we will produce as a tree. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So the fruit in our life is demonstrated by the evidence that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life. Something precious happens when we partner with the Holy Spirit and we allow him to do whatever he wants to do in our life. And the Bible tells us that we will prosper. Now, that's not just talking about financial, and I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about we will do well in life generally because the Holy Spirit will partner with us, will surrender to his will as he highlights to us areas in our life that we need to change. In the Old Testament, the psalmist writes in Psalm 1, he, this is the righteous person, talking about pointing to the person that's righteous in God, i.e. the person that's now following Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life. They'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. And there's a consistency in our life as we're walking with Jesus, that we become more consistent and become more like Jesus. And as we do so, God will bless us. So, as we walk daily with Jesus, in step with the Spirit, and we don't allow anything to get in between, the fruit of the Spirit in its entirety will be seen in our life. So we don't just choose which ones would we like. Which one would you like, Andrew? Oh, I think a good one for you would be kindness. Kindness, I think that would be good, yeah. And Pastor H, you could be goodness. And Al, you could be joy. Oh, and Sean, you could be peace. And Joshua, you could be faithful. And we can just choose one. Wouldn't it be good if we could just choose one? And we look at them and go, that's what it's marked out. But no, Paul says, no, actually, the entirety, all of the fruit should be in the Christian life. So let's look at the first one, love, in Greek. The Greek word is agape. Can you say agape? Agape. And in the New Testament, it's described in this way. It describes the love of God. And there are so many references in the Bible to the love of God. As you read this instruction manual, you will see this agape love that is seen and we can experience from God himself. So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it clearly teaches us that God is love. Can you say that? God is love. If we want to know who God is and what God is, it's very simple. God is love. God loves us, God cares about us, and he shows his unconditional love to us today, regardless of what we've done in our life, regardless of what mistakes we might have made this morning when we got out of bed. Regardless of those things, God still loves us. And this is his character. And it's no coincidence that this first fruit is agape, is love. This agape love is what motivated Jesus to go to the cross to die for us. This agape love is what motivated Jesus to come from heaven to earth, take on the form of a man, to identify with us, to be rejected and abused and beaten and murdered on a cross. This is the love of God that motivated Jesus to do everything he did for us today. When I was a little child, I used to love a song. Pastor Rachel might remember this one because we're almost the same age. She does remind me that I'm older than her. But this is the song. And if you know it, sing it quietly. Don't sing it loud. Ruth is guessing what it is now. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. I am weak, but he is strong. And he goes on to say, yes, Jesus loves me. And you see, once you're a Christian, you have this security in your life. Jesus loves me. God loves me. If others don't love me, that doesn't matter. God loves me. John chapter 13, verse 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus loved his disciples, even though they were going to run away from him at his darkest hour, even though one that he'd spent so much time with was going to betray him. Jesus still loved them. This agape love is what Jesus wants us to experience personally. And if you do not know the love of Jesus today, if you feel that no one could possibly love you, if you feel that God couldn't care about you because of the way you've lived your life, I have to tell you, you are so wrong. Jesus loves you exactly as you are, and he wants you to be secure in his love. Do you feel secure in the love of God today? Do you feel that? He just loves you. He's longing for the day that you'll meet him in heaven, and I'm sure he will give you the biggest hug you have ever experienced in your life. And he wants us to know and be secure in the love, and everything we do is out of that relationship with Jesus to other people. Jesus commands us to love other disciples as he has loved us. So do you know, in this church, have a quick look at some of the people that are in the room today. Jesus wants you to love them. Not that person, Lord, surely. Not that one over there. Oh, I like that one, but that one, ooh, maybe I can just give that one a miss. No, God says, I want you to love them. They're part of my family. They're part of this family that I've placed you in. And regardless of who they are on their journey, God wants us to love them. And John chapter 15, verse 12 says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, and everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Three words. Love one another. And you know, for this church, people will come in that don't feel loved, that feel broken, that have had all kinds of things happen to them. And they'll look at this church family and they go, wow, what amazing love they have for each other. I wish I could be part of that family. And you know what we're going to say? Come and be part of the family. We're going to watch a video now, very quickly. It's a 2-minute video. Let's watch this right now.
I just wanted to share a little bit about love, as is mentioned in Galatians 22, one of the fruits of the Spirit. The world looks at love, and I remember the saying that love means never having to say you're sorry. I'd just like to add one other thing. For me, love is unconditional, if we're talking about this in the fruits of the Spirit, because I just remember when I was in Hong Kong, and the people that used to come from overseas who would pay their own fare to get to Hong Kong, they weren't paid, but many of them gave up a lot of things to help us, help people that were on drugs. They had to encounter abuse, both verbally, physically. They had to encounter changes in culture. They had to encounter people not liking them in so many different ways. I remember one particular incident where one of the female helpers had her forearm bitten into by one of the residents who was trying to run away. That was just only one incident. People have been attacked with knives, with choppers, but they still welcomed the brothers. They still welcomed the residents back where they'd left, and they'd come back again, and they'd leave, and they'd come back again, time after time after time. The story is, it was unconditional love. We still accepted them, no matter what the situation was. It also says, love conquers all.
Thank you, Richard. Rose is at the back. Are you very proud of him? Richard and Rose, well, Rose got called by God to go to Hong Kong. Young lady, not long been a Christian, in a few years, God calls her to go to Hong Kong to go and work with drug addicts, to work with Jackie Pullinger, and that's where she met Richard. Richard was part of that program. He tried loads of things. He tried to come off drugs so many different times. But do you know the thing that made the difference? Well, there were two things. The power and presence of Jesus Christ and the love of the people that went to help them. So God does not only just want us to show love to our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also to those people that do not yet know Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. You have heard what it was said. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So this fruit of love is essential. It is no coincidence. It is the first one. So we're going to be asking you to do some stuff from this teaching. I'm going to share a little bit in a minute. But one of the things I want you to do is read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this beautiful love letter that Paul writes. I want you to read it this week. Study it. See what it says love is. Let's look at our second characteristic, our second fruit, which is joy, and the Greek is chara. Joy does not depend on circumstances, but it's a facet of love that causes us to trust God, even in the most difficult and trying circumstances, even in the worst situations. It's where we trust God. We sing in this church a song, and I will trust in you alone. I will trust in you alone. And so even though there are times we don't see what God is doing, God is still working. He doesn't sleep or slumber. When we're asleep, God is still working, and he's working on our behalf. And we have this knowledge, this assurance that regardless what happens on the front of this world, regardless that's the circumstances that surround us, Jesus is still working for our best. Why? Because he loves us. He still loves us the same, and he's doing absolutely everything he can in the right plan, in the right way, so that you and I will know that love. But we have the assurance that he loves us and he's still in control. Do you know that Jesus is still in control today? Do you know that? Jesus is in control of everything. We might think other people are. God is still in control. So human joy looks upon the way or looks at things and are affected by the condition of what we see and experience at the moment. So we might wake up in the morning, it might be our birthday, and we might have loads of presents, and we might think, oh, this is fantastic, isn't it a wonderful day? And we can be happy, and the next day we can turn on the television and say, more people have died of COVID, and we can be sad. But Christian joy is different. Christian joy is manifested in our life as on this journey of a lifetime, as we face the troubles of the day with the Holy Spirit in our left hand and the Lord Jesus in our right, we look to them and we look heavenward and we ask God to show us how to live our life. And we don't look at the circumstances around us. We're secure in the love of Jesus regardless of the storms that go around us at the moment. And we are joyful because it's a reaction to God's mercy towards us, God's blessings towards us, and the benefits that we have. Do you know the benefits of following Jesus are out of this world? Did you know that? Did you get that? The benefits of following Jesus are out of this world. God has got amazing rewards for us in heaven, but also today. So the Apostle Paul, I've talked a little bit too much, but I'm going to just emphasize this a little bit more. The Apostle Paul uses the word joy 17 times in his letter to the Philippian church. 17 times. Where is Paul when he's writing this letter? Is he on his holidays, lying on the beach, enjoying himself? Oh, isn't life wonderful? He's in prison. He's chained between two prison guards. Can you imagine that? 24/7. Imagine when you want to go to the toilet. This wasn't a fun time for Paul when he writes his letter. But yet he writes 17 times in the book of Philippians about joy. Why was he able to talk about this fruit? Because of his relationship with Jesus. Because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because of his relationship with the Father. And those of you that looked at our upward triangle, it's our upward relationship with God. It's all about that. And you know, if we haven't got that, then we're going to struggle in other areas, because that's where our security comes from. And so we have this most beautiful letter. If you've never read the book of Philippians, read the book of Philippians. It's a beautiful letter. It's a tender letter. It's full of tenderness and gentleness and mercy and warmth. And that's why he could write to the readers of this letter In Galatians chapter, sorry, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he writes these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again I say, that's another song we used to sing. If we could sing today, Rachel would be there, and this side would be going, "Rejoice," and this side would be going, "Rejoice," and we'd be rejoicing in the Lord always. Don't you know that one? Oh, Rachel, you've never lived. I could sing it to you, but that would just ruin it. Okay. So true joy is not surface emotion that depends on what happens right at this point in time. Happiness is controlled by what happens now. But for the Christian, joy is independent of what's going on around us. And it's possible, even in the midst of adverse conditions, to have joy. Paul demonstrated this from prison. Some of you will know last year that I was very unwell. Pastor Rachel had to look after the church for a while. But my wife will tell you, even though I nearly went to meet my maker, I'd still sing and praise God. Even though I was in pain, at one point I was in so much pain, I couldn't sleep, I would still praise God and I still had joy. I wasn't happy about the pain I was in, let me tell you. But I had joy because of the presence of Jesus that's in my life. Paul was saying the object of his joy is Jesus. Jesus is the object of my joy. Who's the object of your joy today? Do you know, Paul knew he was going to die. He's on his way on a journey that he knows he's going to die. He talks in another letter that it's good for me to be here, but I'd rather be with the Lord. And do you know why he'd rather be with the Lord? Because his joy would be even more complete when he dies. Because he's going to go where? To the presence of God. So, we're asking you to study 1 Corinthians, the story of love. We're asking you to look at the book of Philippians. We're asking you to do a lot of things this week and look at joy. Andrew, over to you. Make sure your mic's on, yeah?
So if joy is the exuberance of the spirit, peace is the quietness and confidence. Isaiah 32:17 tells us that the peace of God will result in quietness and confidence. Is that what you're experiencing today? Quietness and confidence, because you're at peace, irrespective of what's going on. Irrespective of COVID, irrespective of other things. It's as we've just been explaining, that the fruits of the Spirit are outside of the world. They're supernatural. They override what's going on in the everyday life. Peace is at the heart of God. I want to just remind you of a story in the Bible. It's a well-known story, and most of you will know it. It's the story of Gideon, but I'm just going to take the first part of it. Gideon was a young man hiding from the Midianites because he was frightened. The whole country was frightened because the Midianites were sort of at war with them, but there was no war because Israel couldn't fight, so they just hid. And it said that he was hiding one day and an angel came to him, but he didn't know it was an angel. And like they did, there was hospitality. And eventually he said, "Well, hang on, I'm going to cook you a meal." And so he goes off to cook a meal and he comes back with the food and something to drink. And the angel said, "Oh, just put it on the rock there." So Gideon, young fella, probably mid-teens, 16, 17, maybe. He goes and he puts it on the rock. And as soon as he does that, a fire comes from heaven and boom, it goes and disappears. And so does the angel. And it says that Gideon was terrified. You might experience that as well if that happened to you. But the word of the Lord to him was this. Judges 16 to 24, this is. I'm just going to read just a small part of it. If I can find it. When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face," and he knew he was going to die. But the Lord said to him, "Peace. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So what did Gideon do? Immediately, just because of that one experience, he goes and he gathers some stones. He builds an altar. And he says, "This is the altar to the God of peace. Jehovah Shalom." Now, Robin has given you the two Greek words for the two words that he's looked at. But the Greek word for peace, nobody's ever heard of. And that's because the word we regularly use for peace is the Hebrew word, which is shalom. Now, I'm sure many of you have heard of that. Shalom. Do you know the Bible says that the Lord is the Prince of Peace? Do you remember that? When it was prophesying in Isaiah about Jesus coming. The Prince of Peace. Many times, well, several times anyway, Paul says in the New Testament that God is the God of peace. And Hebrews tells us that he's the King of Peace. God is peace, a supernatural peace that overrides everything else. You know, God's peace is not easily described. God's peace, the word shalom has really no real English equivalent as a word. We use the word peace. Maybe a slightly better word would be for you to understand would be completeness. God's word is completeness. Let me give you some words that describe this shalom. Wholeness. Health. Peace, welfare, safety, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Wow, that's a list, isn't it? And who wouldn't want some of all of that? Sometimes it's not easy to be at peace. I have a couple of things going on at the moment in my own life, business things, which are disturbing the peace. They're sort of causing agitation for me. And yet, you see here that God's peace is the lack of agitation. And so what I actually do in practice is I keep on giving it to the Lord. I do what Pastor Robin's already said. I say, "Lord, you are in control. I will trust you. You know all about these two issues. You know the attack that's coming. You know the difficulties that arise. But even in those difficulties, even though there are still things to face and things to do, oh, I will be at peace in God. I will be at peace because Father knows and Father is in control." So Jesus said to his disciples, almost the last words he said, in John, John said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." But I want to make something very clear to us this morning. That sort of peace, the peace of God, only comes if we're at peace with God. Do you know that enemies are not at peace, are they? But we have to make peace with God first. The peace of God is obtained as a result of being justified by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, we have been justified through faith. Sorry, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that while we're not Christians, we're enemies of God. And if you're an enemy, you need to make peace. And so I need peace with God. And I make peace with God by accepting what Jesus did for me on the cross. I make peace with God by saying, yes, Jesus, I will accept you as my Lord and Savior. I will accept what you did for me, and I will no longer be your enemy. I will make peace with you. And then we find Philippians 4, Paul then speaks of the peace of God which passes all understanding. That means it's supernatural, it's not natural. And what happens? I make peace with God, and suddenly this peace of God begins to descend upon me. And then we start, as we've said about this morning, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit comes to live within us, and the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow within us. And this fruit of the Spirit, peace, is an inner characteristic, of course. It grows within us and manifests itself in all we do. And so I learn to be at peace because of the peace that God has given me. In ever-increasing situations, it's growing within me. It doesn't happen all at once. It grows and it grows and it grows as we submit to the Spirit of God. So, as we've said, what we're going to do is we're going to walk our lives with Jesus on the one hand and the Holy Spirit on the other. And we're going to let him walk us through and build the fruit of the Spirit within us as we walk. It's going to grow, whether it's love, whether it's joy, whether it's peace, or the others which we will look at in these coming weeks. We're going to let them grow within us and see the love of Jesus and the life of Jesus as we walk with him day by day. Praise his name.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. You're a real blessing to me. Can I just put on the record? You're a great guy. So, with studying the fruit of the Spirit, I'm coming into finish now. We're going to ask you to do something with what we're teaching. We don't want you just to go home and go, wasn't that lovely in church today? We saw the children dance and we dedicated that little boy, Jamie, who is really doing well. And he wants to go home and play now, but he's doing really well, so keep going. Wasn't that a lovely service? We don't want lovely services here. Thank you. What we want to do is hear from what God says and do what he says. That's the most important. And if you're a young Christian today, just do what he says. That's all he's asking you to do. Just do what I ask you to do. So I'm going to email these notes out to you after this service. This week, I want you to spend time looking at all of the nine fruits. I'm giving you a little table. I want you to school yourself on 1 to 5. 1, I'm not very good at this one. 5, I'm very good at this one, and say why. I want you to intentionally, purposefully spend time with God and say, God, Holy Spirit, would you show me if there's some areas here that actually perhaps I need you to work on? Would you highlight them and would you walk with me now through this journey? Thank you so much for listening today, Pastor Rachel. If you come and lead us in another song of worship.